BlakeRadio.com.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
And you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect. And damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings. You cussed at me. You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
I'm Al Silk.
I'm Roddy Piper. This is Hawk Kong.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Spud.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace. And the Omega.
You do my bidding, or taste my wrath.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of this little thing we call a radio network. And that music is appropriate as every other man on this show is dead. We have no Spug. We have no Tim. I couldn't even wrangle an Australian into this show tonight. Thankfully, however, I am joined by the two lovely hosts of The Rack. Thursdays at 11 p.m. Eastern here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Jackie and Lindsay. How are you this evening?
Hi. We're just fine, and they're not dead because they disappeared. They're dead because Omega wanted two chicks to himself.
You're not supposed to reveal these things on the air.
My bad. Well, you know what? You're interrupting me in the middle of Star Trek, so I have to get you back for something.
I'm not interrupting you for anything.
That's all I've heard about for the last few hours. That's all I've heard about. Just for the last few hours. It was, what was the first movie? And then there was Iron Man and then Star Trek. Her little geek heart has just been fluttering all afternoon.
And Zombieland is on later. This is a win day for movies.
Actually, what channel is Zombieland? Hang on.
FX.
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave it there for the night. I haven't seen that movie in a while. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt your movie marathon.
Yeah, God. But I guess we got some shit to talk about, don't we?
Yeah, apparently we do. The music that you heard opening the show, of course, means we got to see The Undertaker on Monday Night Raw. And I'm sure you two have many opinions about the promo we got to see him cut with Triple H.
It was really great. I was really happy with it. What I got to see, because, again, this was the second week in a row where I had to literally sit on Lindsay to hold her down, just waiting for him to take the hood off.
And he never did.
No.
She got to hear the entire spiel of, God damn it, he's not going to take that fucking hood off till WrestleMania. Now I have to buy the stupid pay-per-view just to see what his head looks like. Curse you, WWE. Curse you so damn hard.
She has had some issues with her cable company, so she's been forced to watch Raw on a feed. And usually I have 2 seconds ahead of her. I'm 2 seconds ahead of everything she hears. So it's like, did you take it off yet? No, Lindsay, it's still on. Now? No, Lindsay, now. No fucking Lindsay. It's not come off yet. And so it kind of just got to the point where I was able to catch the last few minutes of it as all the hope that she had just kind of left her as she knew the hood was not coming off.
Yeah, I had to cry for a minute.
Yeah.
At this time, I would like to remind our listeners that the Wild Talk Radio Network does not condone the use of illegal streams of WWE videos. Thank you.
I wouldn't have to use a fucking illegal stream if Comcast would just fix their goddamn feed. Again, I am in a mountain time zone. I'm not in Hawaii. Watching Raw on a 3-hour damn delay is not acceptable.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
I want somebody to fix this.
They're airing Raw on the Hawaii time zone in Salt Lake City, Utah, for some reason.
Oh, jeez.
She's 3 hours behind us.
Jackie is in the same damn time zone, and she's fine, but for whatever reason, the Mormons decided to switch us over to Hawaii time.
So that's...
Don't make me come down there to that vertical Vatican to fix this shit.
Oh, my God.
So you're not happy, I take it.
No, not happy at all. Not even remotely close.
I think it was expected to just to draw, you know, attention to WrestleMania. I mean, if there are people out there crazy as Lindsay and I that would watch WrestleMania and pay $60 to see it just to see what his head looked like with no hair. But it's just, it was really... You know they're going to do it. It's just unfortunate. I mean, for those of us who are just chomping at the bit, because I was just as anxious as she was to see what his hair was going to look like, to be completely honest with you. And so I was a bit disappointed. At least at this point, we know they're not going to show it most likely until WrestleMania. So hopefully I won't have to be wrestling Lindsay to the ground anymore between now and then.
Well, we do have an issue of WWE Magazine with him on the cover with his head apparently covered in flame.
Fire, yeah.
And he's apparently
really,
bald.
And it's really awkward, too. Like, it looks... Like, a lot of times, if you Photoshop something really well, it looks great. It looked really fake. It looked like they just kind of stuck his picture underneath a flame and put it on the cover. It looked...
Yeah.
It looked awkward.
Not the best Photoshopping, guys. Seriously, not the best job.
No.
Do it over, try it again.
See, back in the day, the real pros would have set themselves on fire for that shot. Not anymore. Not the PG era.
Yeah, I was going to say, not in the PG era. Taker's a valuable asset at this point. They got to get everything that he's got left out of him.
Right.
JR was filmed while he was being set on fire. Thank you very much. That's a pro.
I'd like to also point out that the last time Kane did anything like that, he was arrested. What happens? He kills Zack Ryder 3 times and he gets away with it. What is wrong with
him?
These
he just permanently crippled the poor guy.
3 times over. He's in traction now.
I sent him on a fun ride off in a wheelchair. You know, that's not quite killing him.
We think.
Well, he's still making his show, so he's not dead.
Oh, this shot months in advance.
Very funny, Rock.
No, actually, I was betting on shorter than 8 minutes, so.
I was going to say, what was the pool for the
game? And it was Omega that made it when Jim Ross was set on fire.
Yeah, I'd like to point out, he brought it up.
Thank you. We are
I led to it, yeah. I did lead to
it. We were baited, goddammit.
Well, I was about to lose the bet.
You were allowed to lose the bet. What was the bet?
Minute 9 coming up.
I see how these two work.
So... since the run sheet is telling me I have to ask this, was this the best piece of television WWE has put on in a while?
That whole Raw was, I thought. I mean, for the most part, I really liked it.
Yeah, I have to get to segment 2 before I get to the part I like best, but...
The whole Raw up until that point was good. After that, I really don't remember what happened because you were kind of sort of so drained from that whole segment that it was just kind of like, God. Actually... In all honesty, I liked the Triple H Shawn Michaels segment the week before better than the Undertaker Triple H, just because it was kind of a letdown because they did make the match. But I thought Shawn Michaels and Hunter the week before was just a little bit better.
I think that's probably one of the better Raws I've seen since the first 15 minutes of the walkout Raw before Laurinaitis came out and ruined it.
Oh my God, the first 15 minutes of that Raw was epic.
Right.
CM Punk getting all giddy because he gets to wear Triple H's blazer. That's a win.
Oh, my God. That was hysterical. Can I wear your coat? I will let you wear the coat. I'm in!
And he got double pay for being the timekeeper plus doing announcing.
They should have just let it go like that through the whole show.
Oh, my God. I would have loved to see how far they would have gone.
That's great.
Can you carry an entire episode of Raw with only four people?
They were doing a pretty damn good job.
Yeah, they are.
They were.
I don't know what your second match would have been, but it worked.
Well, that's when you go find Kane, you go find The Undertaker, you go find all the guys that are out on sick leave, you go down to FCW. I wanted to see Triple H work the broomstick, but that was just me.
Yeah, there you go.
How many props in the back have we had? Let's wrestle Pepe.
Wait, no, Pepe got made into something, didn't he?
No, that was Moppy.
Was that Moppy?
Yeah,
Pepe was with Chavo, right?
Yeah, Pepe was Chavo.
And Moppy was Saturn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the great line of dignified gimmicks.
The only thing they were missing was Head and the Urn.
The Urn, the hand from Mae Young.
Oh, God.
The multiple heads have been pulled out of rectums.
That's a common thing around there, isn't it?
JR and Triple H.
Oh, Jake Snake?
Yeah, it's the Snake, and it better be the green one. I was never a fan of the albino.
And the green one was all right. The albino was prettier.
You know what I like about this? We are just as off-topic as a normal episode of WTR, but at least we're still talking wrestling.
Right.
We aim to please.
Okay, we mentioned Star Trek. We got that out of the way.
Simon Pegg, by the way, is a win, and Chris Pine is hot. Just saying.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh, it's going to be a long night.
This is what happens when you bring estrogen onto the show.
Yeah. Figuring that one out, to continue this little thing we're calling a show tonight, I'm being told that we have a clip of Shawn Michaels speaking to WWE.com. Can we hear it, Rock?
Hey, Shawn, first off, thanks so much for speaking with WWE.com today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great. So first off, let's get right to it. You know, we know you saw Monday Night Raw on Monday. You know, how do you feel about the fact that Triple H finally accepted The Undertaker's challenge to a match at WrestleMania?
Well, obviously, I'm like everybody else. I'm happy he did it. That's why I came, a couple weeks ago to try to encourage him to get in there and get that suit off and, be who I know who he is, and that's the game, the Cerebral Assassin, to encourage him, take the opportunity to solidify, certainly his legacy in this line of work, and doing something that I know is gonna be important to him, and more importantly, I guess, that's important to the WWE universe. Like to think I always tried to give the people what they wanted, and this is obviously something they wanted to see this clash once again. And so I'm like everybody else. I'm very happy about it.
Well, what seemed to get Triple H to ultimately accept the challenge, he did say no initially, but what seemed to get him to accept the challenge this week was Undertaker saying that he can't do what you couldn't do, because you, Shawn Michaels, were always better than he was. Any comment on what The Undertaker said?
No. It's mind games. That's what we do. The Undertaker's been doing this for a long time. He's certainly an intelligent guy. And, he's doing whatever he's got to do to get under Triple H's skin. And, you do whatever it is you think you gotta do. I mean, The Undertaker, ironically enough, is the one that sort of seems to feel that he's got something to prove, this year. And, so I think, I think that he was gonna, stop at nothing, to get Triple H in that ring. It just so happens that, appealing to, Triple H's ego or whatever it is you want to, however it is you want to interpret that, he was going to do whatever it took to get him in the ring. At the end of the day, I mean, it worked, and that's all that matters.
Well, ego and mind games aside, Triple H probably more than anyone else. Do you think you're better than he is?
I don't think that's, that's not what this is about. This is about The Undertaker and Triple H. That's irrelevant. What I think about anything, you know, quite honestly, is irrelevant, you know. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's not something that's, you know, that's not the question that everybody wants to know, going into WrestleMania or coming out of WrestleMania. This is about, Triple H and the streak. So, I mean, again, it's that, you know, what, you know, where I stand in all of this is, you know, is certainly not the issue.
All right. Well, I mean, if Triple H does defeat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, do you think that'll mean that he's better than you are? What do you think about that?
What I think is, you know, I think that, you know, I mean, it seems to me that no matter, you know, how much I try to, you know, you know, I guess it's one of those things, man. I mean, it doesn't seem to really make a difference what I say to you. What you're, you know, you're like, you're the media guy. You know, your deal is to try to drive a wedge, I guess, between me and Triple H to make this about something that it isn't, which is, you know, who's better, me and Triple H. The fact of the matter is, you know, I came back once. I come back one time a year, and somehow the focus is all on me. Now, granted, I'm the showstopper. I'm Mr. WrestleMania. I'm Mr. Hall of Fame. And you know what? It's just a curse, for heaven's sakes. It is a friggin' curse that I show up one time and all the focus goes on me. But I can't help it. I'm that darn gifted. But you know what you need to do? You need to understand that this, no matter how much you want it to be about Triple H and Shawn Michaels, is about The Undertaker and Triple H. It's about whether he can beat the streak or he can't. At the end of the day, you know what? My career is going to stand on its own. And where I stand in the eyes of everybody is the absolute best in-ring performer that has ever lived. Okay? So get that through your thick skull and try to understand that this is about Undertaker and Triple H. And again, no matter how much I show up, do your absolute best. Me, I've got no choice. See, I've got no choice. I just show up and the spotlight goes on me. I can't help it. It's a curse. But I want you to, at the very least, try to do your best and keep your eye on the prize, and that is the streak and Triple H and whether he beats that streak. When WrestleMania is said and done, okay, you can make your assessment. But until then, I suggest you shut your pie hole and leave me alone to live my retired life. You got it?
Got it.
Thank you.
Now, I would like to point out that we here on WTR got more time out of our Shawn Michaels interview, and he liked us.
Even though you were jumping up and down like a fangirl the entire time.
Yes. Not that he could see that across the Skype call.
That's okay. I think we'll all be doing the same thing when Trish Stratus comes on.
Right.
And do remind our listeners when they can hear the Trish Stratus interview.
Trish Stratus will be on The Rack on Thursday, live, 11 p.m. Eastern, only on Wild Talk Radio.
That is a good show.
She's learning. She's learning.
So
she spends so much more time with Rock, she'll be doing it in her sleep.
Yeah, but if I do it during sex, that's when we have a problem.
Keep us up to date, Omega.
So not going to go there.
Good deal. Good. Smart boy.
Wow, did you give him a treat too?
Yeah, I'll rub his belly later.
So with this little phone call now adding into it, where does Shawn Michaels fit into the Taker Triple H angle?
Well, he's certainly trying very hard to not to.
Well, it seems like his motivation was to get Triple H to do the match. And now that's occurred, so that takes him out of it, but it seems like now the motivation is to prove, I guess maybe to take the spotlight off of him. That's kind of what I got from that promo. I mean, he says you know a lot when he doesn't know what he's going to say. They all do, but you notice immediately when he switches from, yeah, he's just bullshitting you, to boom, there's the promo.
Right, right.
So I can't tell whether it's he's trying to take the spotlight off himself and focus it solely on Taker Triple H, or ultimately it's going to get to him that Triple H is going to try to do what he couldn't do, and he can't have that.
Well, at the same time, I mean, the first time we saw him back in this, he really was trying to go Triple H into continuing this, into accepting the match, which is total 180 from what he was doing last time. And if he's the same guy from a year ago who didn't think his best friend had a chance of actually beating Taker, it seems like he's out to get his best friend annihilated this time.
Well, what's weird is you would think, and I guess maybe why I think Shawn is going to try to stop Triple H in the long run is they're fighting at WrestleMania, they're fighting for the streak for a second time, which is what Shawn did. This will probably turn out to be career versus streak because of the way that they're making it sound, where it's the end of the era, it's somebody's not coming back from this. So they're adding that into it, and then they're doing it in Hell in the Cell, which is a structure that Shawn helped originate with The Undertaker. So maybe those three factors will cause Shawn to snap.
I'm not so sure this is going to be career versus streak this time, if only because Triple H is pretty much hammered into the WWE at this point. Shawn did it to get out, and I can understand that, but Trips is here for, probably for as long as WWE is going to be around.
Well, it's career, it's wrestling career. So Shawn's out of the ring wrestling wise, and Triple H has said in interviews that he's pretty much done. That he only works when he feels he has to or when he wants to, and he's good with the fact that he doesn't have to go out there every night now. He can kind of step back and move back behind the scenes, and he's cool with the fact that he's only a feature performer or a once in a while kind of guy that shows up on TV. So maybe that's what they're going to do, is they're going to have Taker take him out of the ring and solidify the fact that he's now office, move him permanently, because they're kind of trying to bridge that gap like they did with Vince, where he would sometimes wrestle, but he was mainly just that on-camera official. Maybe that's what they're trying to do with Trips, is except they're trying to now take that wrestling side of it out of it and just have him be front office or corporate or whatever you want to call it.
Well, we do get to see it in Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell used properly, I will add.
Now, here's my question for this. Do we think we're going to get a PG Hell in a Cell, or do we think we're going to get a full-on?
Oh, God. I don't know that a PG Hell in a Cell will be worth even spending the money on. What a waste to have Triple H versus The Undertaker, career versus streak, whatever versus streak, in a PG environment. That would suck. That would be such a loss.
Yeah, it's the one downside to this. I mean, it's Hell in a Cell used the way I like it, as, okay, this has to be the end, we're going to take it here, and it's not going to go any farther, as opposed to, we have this gimmick pay-per-view coming up, and we have to use this cell a couple times. But it does take a little bit out of it, knowing that it's not going to have any blood, it's not going to have any huge spots, because they don't want the kiddies to be corrupted for all time.
Yeah, I don't even know that it would be worth watching if it's a PG Hell in a Cell. What a waste.
Well, I don't know that they wouldn't necessarily have at least a little blood. I mean, I don't picture Taker and Triple H doing this half-assed, and doing it PG is kind of doing it half-assed.
Oh, yeah. Doing it PG is totally doing it half-assed.
I really picture them trying to go all out with this.
Yeah, part of me thinks that, these are the two guys from the old school, these two guys from the Attitude Era, the last of the era. And knowing the locker room power that Undertaker has, knowing the political power Triple H has, I could easily see this going, ooh, I nicked him. Sorry, accident. Open it up.
Yeah, and I hope so. I really do. I mean, I cannot even stand the thought of this being a PG. I mean, God, if it's WrestleMania and you're going to half-ass anything, then, I mean, just there's no point.
Half-ass Rock Cena over Hell in a Cell, shit.
Right.
I mean...
Well, The Rock is involved. We know it's going to be half-assed.
Well, I know that. I mean, that's a given, but I'd rather see them fully half-ass that than do it to Hell in a Cell. I mean, it's WrestleMania, it's Taker, Triple H, it's Hell in a Cell. I just have a feeling if one of them is done, or both of them are done, they're going to give everything they have, especially since Taker only wrestles once a year now. So he's going to give everything he's got
right
in this one shot.
And, Rock, just to clarify, my reaction was, thank God they're using that cell properly as, you know, the trump card, you know, the last play. This is you putting a hotel on Boardwalk in Monopoly. It's like, everyone else is screwed. This is it.
And I guess that was the other conflicting thing about the pay-per-view, at least for me, was that your feature match is supposed to be Rock Cena. That's the one they've been heavily pushing, except now you've declared Undertaker, Triple H, Hell in the Cell, and that completely, at least for me, I don't know about Jackie, I don't know about you, steals the spotlight from Rock Cena.
Oh, I think so.
Oh, after a year of build, I don't think you can take the spotlight away from it. I mean, yeah, it's Hell in the Cell, but then again, you know, Triple H and Undertaker Hell in the Cell matches are pretty easy to find. Like, not at the same time, but, you know, those are the two guys who are in it 9 times out of 10.
Right.
So it's nothing especially new, especially since this is the third match at WrestleMania for the two. I don't see how, and after the year build up, and it's Dwayne Johnson, I don't think you can take that spotlight away.
I guess my point of view may be coming from the fact that I'm just not that impressed with Dwayne Johnson. I guess for me it wouldn't take a whole lot to take the spotlight away from him, but my opinion is probably the minority on that.
Right.
Yeah, my bigger annoyance is that it's taking even more light off of our two world championships, which are now third and fourth on the card for WrestleMania.
And considering the fact that one of them or both of them will probably be a throwaway match in between these two matches, just makes it suck even more.
Yeah, like, somewhere in the Booker part of my brain, I'm going, okay, it's probably going to be Trips and Undertaker, WWE Championship, then Rock and Cena to end it. And the World Heavyweight title, let's face it, Daniel Bryan and Sheamus, they're both great workers. I don't see that as a WrestleMania-level match, though. Yeah, I have no doubt it's going to be a good match. I just don't see it as top billing here.
Well, maybe that was by design.
It's probably by design. Yeah, well, because yeah, you've got so much stacked up already. You know, like CM Punk, Jericho, that's WrestleMania quality. And then you've got the two big hype matches along with that. It is something of a throwaway match.
So would you have that open the show, or would you have that in between maybe Cena, Rock, and Taker, Triple H?
I put it somewhere at a midpoint. That way you get the world title out of the way, you have a cool down match or two, and then you go into your big three. So I'm sure somewhere in there is going to be a very disappointing Divas match, too.
We know. We're already prepared for it. I just hope maybe Karma gets medical clearance in time and she comes back.
Jeez.
Maybe we get Beth versus Karma or something like that.
Yeah, Beth versus Karma would be an awesome match.
I would actually buy it for that.
As of right now, she is not medically cleared. She's not completely recovered from giving birth, so the Rumble appearance was a one-time thing. But you never know, another 2 months out.
Well, it usually only takes about six weeks to really fully recover. So she should be right there, but
we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, still plenty of time to build up for it. I hope it happens. I really don't think of any other Diva match they could do.
No, me neither. I mean, I'm sorry, but 99% of that roster fucking sucks. And so there's nothing you can do with the Divas division except Beth versus Karma that is anywhere near WrestleMania stature. Hell, there's nothing in that roster that's in your house stature.
WrestleMania
stature.
Damn.
I'm sorry, but I hate the Divas division right now.
And Jackie slams the Divas division for three.
Jeez, in your
house. You even made Omega reel from that zinger. I'm impressed.
It's the obscurity of it. Like, there's this point where it's like, that's not far enough, and then it's like, okay, that's good. You know, like, if she had said, like, Shotgun Saturday Night or something, okay, then it was like, okay, acceptable reference, I got that one. In your house just blindsided me.
Yeah, for those of us who are old enough to remember
God. God, I remember the video game based on In Your House.
Yeah.
There was a video game?
Uh-huh.
My first ever pay-per-view, In Your House, Beware of Dog. piss me off.
Yeah, there was a game done in horrible Mortal Kombat style.
Ew.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
That's kind of what I thought of All Stars, WWE All Stars. I mean, the way you're like slamming people and they're flying 50 feet up in the air. That was my reference. Yeah, WWE meets Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's pretty much what this was. You know, Taker could throw bats at people in the ring.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then you know, like Shawn Michaels would literally be able to pull a bat out of nowhere and just whack somebody.
Well, I'd like to point out that Triple H has pulled sledgehammers out of nowhere on TV. Like, to this day, when he was feuding with Legacy, I still don't know how he hid that sledgehammer in his pants.
If Spug was here, I would make a joke. He's not, though.
Well, you can make it, and he can hear it on the archive.
They'll make another one, and it'll have fatalities and stuff. It'll be great.
Oh, there were finishing moves in this game, too. Not fatalities, but... Once again, we've successfully gone off-topic into geek territory. How about we take a break now that we've got our half hour of required Undertaker talk in?
Okay. Next is Kane talk.
Yay!
Working with fangirls. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned. We are coming right back after a quick bit of shilling.
He loves it.
It's all about the game. And how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your stand. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run. Like a Cleveland bitch from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool. Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, circle, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play.
On March 1st, prepare to be stratified.
I don't care what y'all say.
As former 7-time WWE Women's Champion and the Diva of the Decade, Trish Stratus graces the squared circle of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thank you, hold your applause. Thank you, thank you.
Join us for the most stratifying edition of The Rack live at 11 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tuesday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
People always ask me why they should listen to Wrestle Talk Radio, and Lindsay and I are here to tell you why.
You need to listen for the smart, intelligent, and insightful comments from the end-all be-all of the Wild Talk Radio Network, the one, the only, the Omega.
Oh God, did he tell you to say that?
Well, of course. It was part of his dictation.
Oh, God, Lindsay.
what, I can't help that he gives good dictation, and you know what happens if I don't take it just right.
Anyway, you need to listen to Omega and everyone else on Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Plus, Omega looks really good in a Wonder Bra.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Now doing the rest of this show under protest.
You're not doing the rest of the show under protest?
I'm so sorry, Omega, they made me do it.
Rock forced us.
Uh-huh. Rock has so much authority to do that.
Well, he's the producer.
Welcome back to WTR on Sunday night.
I was really expecting us to get yelled at more than that. I imagine that'll probably be the post show.
I think we're all dead, you know?
Yeah. And notice Rock isn't saying one damn word.
I did expect him to come out with something by now.
And
nothing.
No, you can't get the producer to talk.
Here, kitty, 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 kitty.
Meow.
So, shall we... Shall we continue with Omega's final night on this network?
Sure.
Oh, no, my face hurts.
Yeah, I know.
John Cena had yet another promo to cut on The Rock this week.
And this one was actually halfway decent.
Yeah, I actually really liked this promo. Basically summed up all... I'm not a big fan of The Rock, and this, if you heard this promo, basically summed up all my reasons. I really liked it.
Yeah. We actually got John Cena circa 2007 versus John Cena 2011, the Boy Scout.
Yeah, this is the John Cena I can actually tolerate and listen to, the one that actually isn't afraid to throw a few decent insults.
For once, we didn't get manginas and pink lady parts and everything else.
I think we got a mangina.
We got a mangina reference.
But that was the only one.
I still want to know what The Rock has against lady parts. Apparently he doesn't like them.
I will not be subject to any of these rumors.
Oh, come on, it's fun.
I don't think he has a problem with lady parts. I think he has a problem with men with lady parts.
Ah.
You know, which I guess you get a lot of that when you film in the Philippines. I don't know.
I don't want to know.
But yeah, it was the Cena of old. It was a decent promo, and apparently The Rock will be rebutting it tomorrow night. Who wants to put odds on it being via satellite or not?
Is he scheduled to... Has there anybody word that he's actually scheduled to be there? You never really know with him. Just because they say he's going to be there doesn't mean anything. That's a good point.
Yeah. I fully suspect him sitting in his living room with a few title belts and a display case behind him.
Just so we remember who he used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, remember, I kept them all. Yeah, see? I still care about this place.
Actually, I'm interested to see what they do with this, because John Cena was supposed to be the guest starter for the Daytona 500 today, which was delayed till noon tomorrow. So I would be interested to see if they can get Cena there on time. I'm sure they can. It's not a problem to throw him on an airplane and fly him out to Portland. But that would actually be kind of ironic and funny if The Rock shows up and Cena isn't there. Because right. Cena's whole spiel has been, I'm here every week, where are you?
Right.
And the one week The Rock shows up, John Cena is nowhere to be found.
Well, at least in this case, we know where Cena is. I mean, at least we know that he's not there because he's filling some kind of other contractual obligation. He's not off making the Tooth Fairy somewhere.
Right, but still, the whole spiel is still, I'm here every week.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, according to our producer, who will only make noise in our chat room for this episode, Cena has already left Florida.
Oh, so he's not starting the Daytona 500. Interesting.
Apparently not.
Oh, damn, that would have been such a good angle.
It would have been a really good angle, but it's Cena. He's kind of the company man. I would have expected him to be able to do that, then fly into Raw.
Yeah, I mean, granted,
well, it's WrestleMania season. He probably needs to be there.
Well, he could be there. I mean, like I said, they can throw him on. All they got to do is send him on the company jet. It's a four-hour flight, but you know what? Portland's 3 hours behind, so if he starts it at noon, that's 9 o'clock in the morning. Get him to the airport by 1 or 2 Florida time.
Yeah, you leave at noon and arrive on noon.
Yeah, you leave at noon, get there 4 hours later.
It also depends if he had any pre... like, you know how we were talking yesterday, Lindsay, about how the wrestlers in the area do the weather, you know, in whatever city they're at. You know, did he have any pre-show obligations or anything like that?
Right.
I mean, I agree with you in theory, and I think you're right. They could pull it off. I just wonder what other pre-existing circumstances are there that, you know...
Yeah.
Maybe they have to film some vignettes or, you know, something to be aired at a later date. Who knows?
Right. Yeah, not to mention, you know, as you said, it's WrestleMania season, so I'm sure they've got appearances, promos, and all kinds of things scheduled out all the way till and past Mania already.
Right.
Yeah, him being the company man, I can assume that he is incredibly booked right now.
Oh, I have little doubt of that.
I'm also very hopeful, since we were talking about a possible PG Hell in a Cell, since Cena, being the face of the company, has started to take more of a little bit of a turn in his attitude, I'm hopeful that maybe that means that it's a reflection on the attitude of the company as a whole. At least, I mean, I don't get me wrong, I don't think it'll be temporary. I'm not that stupid to hope that it would be temporary. It would be only for kicking up for WrestleMania. Because WrestleMania is, you know, it's the one that even people who don't watch on a regular basis will still order WrestleMania. So I'm hopeful that maybe the turn in attitude for Cena means, even if temporarily, a turn in attitude for the whole company. And maybe Hell in a Cell will actually be a, you know, an actual good pay-per-view this year. Or a good match this year.
Well, they seem to have been taking that turn. It is definitely not the sugar sweet bubblegum era that it was a year to even 2 years ago at this point. It's definitely taking a darker turn where it's getting more edgy. And I think one example of that, and I'm going to bring him up again despite Rock and Omega's protests, is you look at the Kane angle. I'm just saying, it's a good reference. When you come back and you look at the Kane angle when he comes back, what's the first thing he does? He gets in the ring and he chokes out John Cena on the announce table. Like,
great.
Suffocates him. Granted, he took the shirt, that was a little corn-molly, but, you know, for the WWE to have somebody legit suffocate someone... Because when he pulled his hand away, Cena was bleeding. That's very dark, especially for a PG era.
Yeah. Well, it was. He just did it with his hand, so it's fine. If he'd used a necktie, it would have been suspended.
No, he would have been fired. Daniel Bryan got fired for that. But still, it's a very dark angle. The whole embrace the hate angle was very dark for them. And you've seen more of that edge start to come back in, and it's getting to be where it's a nice balance, where it's still appropriate for kids, but there's just enough there for the adults that it keeps them interested.
Yeah, it's a very delicate balance you have to do when you're promoting your product this way. I think it really started to get a lot edgier when CM Punk started proving that it did pay off to go in that direction. You know, the second
right.
His merchandise starts spiking over over him being a lot edgier than, you know, Bubblegum PG had been since then, you know, as soon as it starts ringing dollar signs in Vince McMahon's head, they do tend to run with it. But it is something where you do have to make sure the product grows up with the audience. The Attitude Era was pretty much the oldest point, you know, after we went a little bit more serious when Bret and Shawn was going through. And before then, everyone was a cartoon character. Your Boss Man, your Macho Man, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, you know, they made a cartoon of all of them at the same time. And you know what? They were pretty much identical.
Right. Well, the people who were 8 and 9 years old when Hogan and Andre were facing at WrestleMania are the people that were in their late teens, 20s, you know, when the Attitude Era rolled around. And one of the other points about that is it's said that considering the economy, the state of the economy right now, that that's what's really facilitating the PG product is, you know, if you can get parents to – if parents can take their kids – they'll go and they'll buy four tickets as opposed to two. And, you know, they make more money if they can buy, you know, little John Cena t-shirts for their kids because parents aren't going to spend as much money on themselves. So if they're following the money essentially with the PG product. So if the fans come out and show that the money is in a different direction, they'll follow. They'll absolutely follow.
Oh, yeah. Well, the idea is that you start off with a younger product that kids are interested in, and you make sure the product grows up with them so they do not grow out of it. And when it hits to a certain point, you go back, you start hooking kids again to kind of rebuild your audience, since wrestling popularity comes in waves, at a time when the people who grew up with the previous era can now have kids of their own to expose to, you know, something they love. And the process just kind of cycles that way. Right now we are starting the upswing from the PG bubblegum era.
Right. I still think this PG era was worse than the last one. I mean, God, even when Hogan was, you know, all the rage and they were going mad. I mean, even at that time, I mean, those of us who are old enough to remember, Jake Roberts all often slapped Miss Elizabeth right in the face. I mean, that's even too hardcore for the PG era that we've had recently. I mean, it was PG, but it was still edgy, at least. I mean, God. I mean, they had Kane trumpeting in the ring at WrestleMania last year. Or trombone, I think that Santino does. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love anything he does, but I was like, what the fuck?
Well, the previous PG era, they really kind of went all the way with it. They kind of had fun with it, where the characters, you know, they had a goofiness. They had a camp quality to them. I think this recent one, they tried to have it both ways, where no one really had a character. They were just very serious. They had a normal name. They had a normal gimmick. You know, I'm really mean. I like to beat people up. That kind of thing. And they, you know, there's nothing really get behind them. You know, when you're trying to offer something for kids, but there isn't anything that would appeal to kids at the same time.
Yeah, we had the discussion about The Undertaker and Kane. You know, the Undertaker, we figure sometime in the next 5 years, he's gone. And, Kane will probably be around, he said he's gonna be around for a while, so let's give Kane 10 more years. You know, after that, there will be no more, there's not gonna be any supernatural element to the WWE anymore. All the characters that have the supernatural powers are gone. And we had discussed, you know, should they expand that? And the consensus pretty much was that things have gotten to be so realistic and so dry with the WWE the last few years that nobody would buy a supernatural character anymore. And it's certainly up for debate whether or not that's a good thing or not.
Yeah, that really depends on the wrestling fan you're talking to at the time.
I mean,
yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too, but I think the audience these days are just a little too cynical, a little bit too educated to buy into that.
Right, but on the same token, it just, to me, going along those lines, I miss the gimmick wrestlers. I'm sorry, I do. I miss guys having a gimmick, having a niche, something that sets them apart. And I know a lot of people rolled their eyes at Brodus Clay, and that, me included in that, but it grew on you, and it made you laugh, and it made you smile. Even though the dude can't dance, can't wrestle, and has residual jiggle on his thighs, it's a gimmick, and it works. And I've missed that about the wrestlers, because it's just like, you know, you look at, like, Wade Barrett. You look at, you know, Randy Orton when he first started out. You look at Batista. It's just like generic wrestler A, generic wrestler B, generic wrestler C. There was nothing. It took them a while to get something that distinguished themselves from the rest of the pack.
So she misses those Isaac Yankum days, basically.
Even though I never saw them, I miss the Isaac Yankum days.
More Glenn Jacobs references.
We're going to see how many we can get into this show. I'm sure there's a bet on how many we get in, too.
Come on, Christmas Creature. Come on.
Well, you just made that reference, so there you go.
Yes, and I got more laughs doing it than Cena did.
That was so wrong.
Well, he did wrestle under the name Jack Package, and you know we could have fun with that for days.
No,
right?
No. I'm the one host on this show. This is my show for tonight. I will not have it.
You may not have it, but you're going to get it.
I don't want to get Glenn Jacobs. I'm going to stop right there.
Okay, I'll stop.
I was going to say, you forget who you're talking to.
I'll stop. I don't want to have to hear about any part of Kelly Kelly, so I'll stop at the package.
Or Eve Torres. We don't want any more Eve Torres.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah, agree.
For
there.
Those of you who do want to hear it, turn to the rack every Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Such a good shill.
That does remind me, though, I am horribly upset that Cena's now stealing my shtick.
Uh-oh.
I told you, I talked to the lawyers about that. They're on it.
Okay, what about the light bright joke? Oh, that was like
that
straight
too.
Up lifted.
I'm working on that too. I can only do so much. Plus, CM Punk scored points with me in the fact that he walked out in a shirt, in a dress coat, a shirt, the title belt, and no pants.
And then waited till the camera was directly behind him to open his jacket.
And flash everyone. It was genius.
It's like, God damn it, I wanted to be on the other side of the camera.
God.
Going back to my run sheet.
Now that
we have a run sheet?
Well, apparently, you're not the only one who feels, you know, that Cena was speaking about The Rock the way everyone else does. Apparently, a number of WWE performers were giddy backstage over Cena's promo, as they legitimately feel the exact same way about, you know, our favorite actor turned wrestler.
Ba-dum-ching.
One talent commented via text to PW Insider. Rock's giving me a lot to read here.
You can do it.
I'm a big boy. I can read.
You can read it. Yeah. Remember, this was, you know, written for Tim Stein, and he bailed out on the show tonight.
Noise.
Oh my God, he can talk.
I know I can talk. How about that? And for just reference, P. Windsor. Just saying.
P. Windsor. Fine. I'm going by the capitalization.
No. You remember? You know? Do you remember the guy who used to say P. Windsor? Didn't he? Or am I pulling a reference that wasn't the reference?
I don't know at this point. I would like to continue. Thank
okay.
You.
See, you wanted me to talk, and now I'm not shutting up.
They wanted you to talk. It's their fault.
What do you mean it's our fault? We like Rock. I like you. We like Rock.
Can I read this now?
Please? Yes, please. Fucking read it.
This anonymous WWE wrestler states, The Rock comes in to use the WWE to get back the audience he lost during Disney movies, which is fine, but he's been back over a year and named one person he helped make a bigger star since then. No one. He's here for himself. He keeps to himself, and he keeps someone who's actually touring here all year from making it a bigger payday at the bigger shows. It's all about making this the biggest mania of all time. Okay, then what do we do the rest of the year? Who's been made? Do you think he took any blame for the Survivor Series not drawing? Of course not. But how do you feud with a guy on a Titantron? Cena nailed the guy dead on tonight. Say anything about Triple H, Taker, etc. Still being in the top spot, but if they were needed to work the road, they would, and they would start working their asses off as much as they needed to. Rock is out for Rock, and the idea he's here to better anything but his own wallet is the biggest work of 2012.
Well, I think it was CM Punk that came out, and he said either in an interview or on Twitter that Rock, you know, for everything that Cena is, he'll shake hands, he'll talk to people, he'll do all that. Rock literally gets out of the limo, walks to the ring, does his spiel, walks back to the limo, gets in, and leaves. And doesn't do anything else.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and that's why I get what's being said. And I agree with that. And those who are detracting and that are saying, oh, it's WrestleMania, it's about drawing numbers, I agree with that. I mean, having The Rock there is going to build, you know, is going to build. And there is some indication that, what's really unfortunate though, is that there is some indication that this is going to continue. I mean, I guess he's going to be at WrestleMania next year. So it would be curious for me to see how many times is he going to be on TV between WrestleMania this year and WrestleMania next year. But I gotta kind of agree. It's like, you know, I mean, there was a time when he didn't even want to be associated with the WWE. He was too good for us. He didn't want to be associated with pro wrestling anymore. He was better than that. And now all of a sudden here he is, and it's like it's to put no one over but himself. And I'm just like, yeah, that's pretty lame.
Well, he felt that way until Escape from Wish Mountain.
And then it's like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to attack the Tooth Fairy.
Well, it kind of does it itself.
But I kind of find out that the Tooth Fairy made money.
Dwayne Johnson in a tutu, that's all you have to think about.
That's how Mr. Nanny made money.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, I know he came back, I guess, before Fast 5 got released, or right around Fast 5, so it almost felt like he was coming back because he needed the payday. It's like none of his movies were really doing as well as anybody thought they would. And I know he does kids' movies, and they say he's made over $1 billion in kids' movies, which Omega actually had to prove to me because I didn't believe it.
Well, my only hope is at this point the WWE can use it to facilitate some kind of moving the company forward. You know, going back to talking about the PG era, there has been some talk, you know, just amongst us tonight that the product is getting edgier and that maybe we are moving away from a completely PG era to maybe getting something still PG but a bit more edgy. And The Rock himself is an icon of the Attitude Era. So maybe having The Rock come back will maybe bring back that audience that was a fan of the PG era to bring those people back to a point where we're getting there. I mean, I am just reaching for any kind of a reason to want The Rock back because I'm just like, you know what? You were done with us and now I'm done with you. So I legitimately hope that there is some point to bringing him back because he can go screw himself as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, as far as bringing fans back are concerned, you have to be there every week to bring fans back once every couple months. And I understand he's a busy guy. He's got prior commitments, all that kind of stuff. But it goes back to doing it half-assed. If you're going to make a comeback, if you're going to try to get those fans back, if you're going to try to do this, put your whole heart into it. Show up every week. Be the
Show
man
up,
that we remember you being.
Yeah, once
a month in person, not in satellite, but actually physically in the ring. Don't just do it because it's WrestleMania. Don't just do it because you can. And I understand WWE probably made these arrangements a year ago or more, and they only have The Rock for a certain number of appearances. Same thing with Shawn Michaels, same thing with The Undertaker, same thing, well, not necessarily same thing with Triple H, but so on and so forth as far as that's concerned. So they have to use their appearances where they can. But if this meant so much to him like he claims it does, it would seem like he would make more of an effort. And I get
I don't think it does.
I get that he's wanting to be around more, but just because it's Mania and he has to promote. I mean, I guarantee you we'll see him at Mania and then maybe the Raw after, and then he's gone for probably 2-3 months after that, until supposedly he's going to work SummerSlam, so until SummerSlam rolls around.
I would be a bit easier on The Rock from here going on out if he put over Cena. If Cena went over as a way of him saying, you know what, I am here only temporarily, Cena is the company man, Cena is the one who is out here breaking his back every week, then he deserves the respect. That would certainly improve my opinion of The Rock, but I don't, again, knowing him and his prima donna attitude, I don't know that he would come back just to job to Cena, just like for all the talk that's been done, even by me, about him coming back to feud or to go for the streak next year with Taker, even if it's to The Undertaker. I don't know that he would come back to job to anyone, let alone Taker, just because he's such a prima donna. I just don't see it happening.
That's true. Well, at the same time, by then, he's already got the money that Vince is paying him out, and he's already done his job for Vince of getting WrestleMania buys. At that point, if you're booking WWE, it just makes more sense to put Cena over, not only so you can say, hey, you know, Cena beat, you know, one of the two top guys from the Attitude Era. He beat the legendary Rock, you know, at the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Air quotes.
Well, it makes it makes sense because as far as booking it wise, what do you do? Do you put over the guy that's only going to be there because he's making a special appearance to kiss his ass, or do you put over the guy that's going to be there every week shilling your product?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes more sense to put over the guy that's going to be there shilling your product because he's going to be making you the money. Sure, The Rock's going to bring in buy rates and he's going to be a draw, but he's only there for that one show. And that's it. Cena's there. I have to give it to him. He's there week in and week out. Whether we want him there or not, he is there.
See, but you're applying logic to it.
I know, and I can't help I can't help it. You know, I can only suspend my logic and physics beliefs during Raw when it's actually on. All the rest of the time, it naturally kicks in.
The other question would be, is if, let's just say hypothetically that what's, you know, the proposition I put out there was true, and let's say The Rock is going to be Faith Scene Taker for the streak next year. It's pathetic that I have to say this because we are talking about two different shows, you know, one a year after. But there was talk about when Cena won the ambulance match at the last pay-per-view, it was all, oh, he has to win because he can't look weak going into a match with Taker. With Rock at WrestleMania. The likelihood that we will see too much of The Rock between now and WrestleMania next year, or between the end of this year's WrestleMania and next year's WrestleMania, very thin. Okay, very thin. We may see him once or twice. If, I can't believe I'm asking this, if he loses to Cena at this year's WrestleMania, will that make him look weak going into a streak match against The Undertaker next year?
No, because between this Mania and the next, he will have defeated Cobra Commander in G.I. Joe 2. So he will look strong no matter what.
Balance of power right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and I know it's pathetic to be asking that question because we're talking about a year, but he's not going to put in the effort to. He's not gonna be around. This is what I keep telling all the little people who are marking over The Rock. He's not gonna be around. Yeah, it's great that he will be around for WrestleMania next year. That's great. But he's still, it's gonna be a one-time thing. The difference between...
It's a one-night stand, you fools.
Right.
He's not going to leave you a phone number.
Yes, so, I mean, yeah, Taker is only going once a year. That's what everyone throws in my face. The difference is Taker's going once a year because he's put in his time. He's put in his, you know, being on TV every week. These two things, comparing The Undertaker to The Rock, in this case, no. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Taker
yeah,
has never walked out on us to make the Tooth Fairy.
Taker's doing it because of his, you know, physical condition.
Limitation.
You know,
right.
He's basically wrestling as much as he can, and to be fair, he should have been out of the game years ago. Rock has little reason. Rock wants to go make movies and make money and, you know, screw the people who actually got him there in the first place.
Right. Rock did his time in the WWE and then went on to make movies. Taker has stuck around with wrestling for 20 some odd years, and Lindsay and I were watching an interview that he gave yesterday where he talked about once he's done in the ring, it's his turn to give back to the people to the industry that made him what he is by helping the guys in the back. Rock has never done that, and you know what? He's never going to. He's never going to give this showing up once a year, making a payday on WrestleMania. This is his version of giving back. You know, screw all the guys, you know, backstage that are working 10 times harder than he is right now while he's off, you know, having his makeup done on a movie set. You know, screw everyone else, you know, as far as giving back to the business that made you. You know, no way. So I get so irritated when people compare that, you know, no.
Well, here's another. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Here's another thought and another consideration, because if you kind of look at the way they're doing this, I find it unusual that even if it is anonymous, somebody from the back would have the balls to make a comment like that. It just seems a little bit too coincidental, and the time of the year just seems a little bit too, like, okay, this is a little weird. What if this is a drop? What if this is a way to kind of try to get heat on The Rock going into WrestleMania?
Could be. Things that happen.
Yeah, well, it could be, but then again, there are always people backstage or disgruntled who will say something that will get overheard by certain sources or, you know, inside contacts that they can email and say, what do you think about this and that?
Yeah, but still, I mean, to email a dirt sheet or to text a dirt sheet something like that, even anonymously, that's kind of crazy.
Well, it was a text, right? How can you anonymously text someone? I mean, the number's going to be attached. I mean, that's pretty ballsy. I mean, they're going to be able to trace it right back to you.
Yeah.
I mean, they must have really trusted whoever this person, whoever the dirt sheet representative was.
Well, since the producer is making me, I have other responses from other WWE stars who are no longer at risk of losing their jobs over saying this. That is to say, all the ones in the unemployment line at the moment. First off, I do have The Rock's response, which was, the ones who are complaining are the ones who will never get over anyway. Too busy complaining. This was messaged on Twitter, so even to respond to online comments, he takes the shortest route possible.
You're surprised?
No.
No. Online reports have indicated that there are a number of disgruntled wrestlers within the WWE locker room upset with Dwayne The Rock Johnson stealing the spotlight at WrestleMania 28 since he is not a full-time performer. Former WWE talent Shane Helms, the Hurricane, added his two cents via the matter on Twitter as well. For the record, anyone in the WWE locker room that is bitching about The Rock's involvement in WrestleMania needs to stop being a douche. He's earned it. The former WWE Cruiserweight Champion wrote on Friday, WrestleMania has always had celebrity involvement, and if the celebrity this year happens to actually be a great pro wrestler, it's a win. Fellow former WWE star Lance Storm, who earlier said Johnson's detractors should shut up, added, if the dude will draw more money, he deserves the spot. Absolutely. And he will draw more money. End of story.
Now, having said that, can I ask again, how were the buy rates this year for Survivor Series?
I don't think they were that good.
I don't think they were that good.
No. From what I remember, they were down from last year.
Just saying.
Yeah, so that's proof of him drawing. Okay, Rock. Thank you, producer. They're up from last year, but not by a whole lot.
And I mean, honestly, how are you going to be able to tell with the way that they're stacking this card? This is not to detract from anyone, but how are you going to know what the actual draw for WrestleMania was, other than maybe looking at the viewership for it when it drops, if it's going to drop? Because pay-per-view is not TV. It's not like you can buy the show halfway through and pick up and watch it. You have to buy it and watch the entire thing all the way through.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like they can judge by ratings. They can judge by buy rates of how many people buy it initially, but you're not going to know who's watching what or what they're buying it for.
It's worth mentioning that could be the reason for the stacked card. Everybody was just convinced going into Survivor Series that this was going to be, oh, The Rock's big return. Da, da, da. Nobody, I mean, I don't want to say nobody watched it, but there was not more than the average. I mean, it was not that big of an improvement. Obviously, The Rock's selling power was not what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, we pretty much knew this exact scenario was going to happen a year ago. I mean, once you announce Cena versus The Rock, and you know it's not going to have a title on the line in that match, you know the Undertaker is going to have his match, and you know the two world titles are going to have a match. So you already have your four main events that we are now looking at.
But we didn't know it was going to be Jericho. We didn't know Jericho was going to be involved.
Yeah, but this is WrestleMania, so they're going to put on the biggest matches they think they can produce. And to be fair, they probably could produce a world title match bigger than Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. So this card could have easily been more stacked than it is, and we knew a year ago it was already going to be loaded.
My only issue is, as far as Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus, and this is to get off topic, is if they wanted to give us a really good match, I would rather see Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk, just because they're giving us that right now, and that's what they're making me want to see.
Yeah.
Forget Punk versus Jericho and Bryan versus Sheamus. I want to see Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk.
But then they would have had to have one of them drop their belts.
I'm okay with that.
They keep talking unification, and apparently we're going to unify the GMs, and it's still Raw Super Show, so... You never know. The line's getting thinner and thinner between the brands.
Oh, yeah. SmackDown basically sucks these days.
But here's the thing. As far as, unless they're going to condense their travel schedule on that, and they're going to go back to only one set of shows, which I doubt they're going to do, unless they're just buy rates for the shows, the ticket sales for the house shows are that bad, I don't see them getting rid of both belts, because you need to have a representative champion for each tour. And I'm sorry, but Cody Rhodes or the tag champs are not going to cut it. Same thing with Jack Swagger. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, when the U.S. champion is not on TV for a few weeks in a row, that should, yeah, there's a problem. I personally wouldn't mind getting back to WWE champion, Intercontinental champion, tag team champion. Boom. That's it.
Women's champion.
Women's champion. Yeah, I forgot about that. Sorry.
Now, that stupid Barbie belt.
Yeah.
Not the Barbie belt. Women's champion.
Got butterflies, yeah, and it's pretty.
It's ugly.
Plastic piece of garbage from Claire's, I swear.
I want to throw it in a tar pit.
At least it's not on a pink strap. That's all. That's the only plus it has going for it.
Oh, give it time.
Yet.
Yet. I guess if Cody Rhodes can bring back the white strap, I really should be concerned, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, apparently I mentioned the word GM, so Rock has a clip ready to play for us.
Hi, I'm Santino Marella, and I'm going to give you my top five reasons why Mr. John Laurinaitis should not be the general manager of both Raw and SmackDown, and why Mr. Teddy Dorlong, my boss, should be the general manager of both Raw and SmackDown. Number five, Teddy Dorlong dances like a gazelle, where John Laurinaitis dances like a cat coughing up hairballs. Number four, that annoying voice should stay where it belongs, on Raw, and curb your enthusiasm. Number three, no one can spell his last name, making it impossible to correspond with him via corporate email. Number two, two words, David Notanga. And number one, if Santino has to hear, "Hi, I'm John Laurinaitis, Executive Vice President of Talent Relations, Interim General Manager of Monday Night Raw, and Permanent General Manager of Friday Night SmackDown," I will be forced to cobra myself.
I knew I loved him for a reason. Santino for champ. Hashtag Santino for champ. That's all I can say. He makes me smile.
I like Santino.
And just to segue into that, why are we having the GMs feud? Is it really necessary? I'm sorry, announcers, general managers, managers should not feud.
It depends on if it's the reasoning. You know, there's been, like Omega was talking about, there's all the talk about, you know, unicating the brands again, making it all one big, you know, all one big show again. If they are doing this because they're going to unify everything and we're going to have, you know, a commissioner as opposed to two general managers, I welcome it. If it's just to get Laurinaitis on TV more, I will kill someone.
Well, fine. Let's just have the diplomatic or the democratic process in which we vote for a single GM, and I demand it be Kane. I want Kane for GM.
There you go. And I want the mask on. I want to get rid of the singlet too. I want the old tights back. Thank you.
Actually, she would do without the entire thing and just have him stand there naked, but...
Oh, like, I'm the only one that would just have him stand there naked.
But seeing as it's PG, we can't get away with that, so... Actually, well, I want the mask on, hair gone, and him bald back in a suit.
He could wear the mask. He wouldn't be completely naked.
He would be 99.8% naked.
That's what I'm saying. He wouldn't be completely naked.
It depends on where he wears the mask, technically.
On his face. We want the mask on the face. Everything else is showing.
It would look a little odd if it was around the genital area of his body with the wig hanging down. It would just look just a little weird. Just
yeah, I'd be pissed.
Anyway, moving on. Please move on. Please.
Do you want to talk about the Cena evil thing some more a little bit?
No.
Oy vey.
Just remember, y'all brought us on here. It's all Rock's fault. He asked us to be
Rock's
here.
Fault.
There was not one mention of that four-letter person in the rundown, so I don't know how we got on to this.
We're just that good, or that obsessed, depending on how you look at it.
No, we know these two. We know how they get on Kane. Every chance they can get.
And then some. Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Oh, again, not my favorite.
I think now it's time for a break, Omeka.
Yeah. I could do for a break right now.
He's like, gosh.
Believe it or not, you're still listening to WTR Sunday Night live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. When we come back, I'm sure we'll talk more about Glenn Jacobs somehow. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
In case you forgot or fell off, I'm still hot. Knock your shell off. My money stacked fat, plus I can't turn the swell off. The franchise doing big business. I live this. It's automatic. I win this. So you hear those horns, you finish. A soldier. And I stay under you fighting. Plus I'm storming on these chumps like I'm thunder and lightning. Ain't no way you breaking me, kid. I'm harder than nails, plus I keep it.
Tired of the same old view of Monday Night Wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night. Just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw. Only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool.
Wild Talk Radio. Always imitated. No, that's about it. Always imitated.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivery pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the Warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the Warrior commands you to do it. Now the Warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Looking for that inside scoop of ladies of professional wrestling? Then you better look elsewhere for the Diva Dirt. As every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rack. Join Jackie Feist and Lindsay Ward as they give you their views and takes on pro wrestling.
I'm no fool, so don't treat me like one.
Get the unique perspective of pro wrestling from two lovely ladies. Thursday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern on The Rack. Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Just because I have a burnt face, that doesn't mean the rest of my parts aren't working.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo!
Yeah, Cash Money Heroes.
chest polish.
Welcome back to The Rack, masquerading as WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Speaking of a rack, they have a guest this week.
Yeah, we do.
Do they?
They do.
They do. The only person in the history of the WWE to be sexier than Kane, Trish Stratus, going to be on the rack this week. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
When?
Like
this Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern, we're going to beg for honorary membership into the brunette mafia. Lindsay and I are both brunette, so we have to get into this group. We just have to.
Yes. Just so it can go on our business card.
Yes, so if you want to hear us beg, tune in this Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern. We're going to interview Trish Stratus live. Well, not live. Sorry. We're just going to fuck that. She's going to be here anyway. Russell Talk Radio. Ah, goddammit. The Rack. Okay, I'm going to shut up now.
I feel like if
we're trying to focus on two things at one time, I'm sorry.
And look, the whole
stop. I always focus on two things at one time when I'm talking about Trish Stratus.
Lindsay?
Yes. What do you want me to say? I can't say anything to him about it. I know it's true. Although, if you do want to hear/see Omega focus on those two things and squeeze over Trish Stratus, you can tune into The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern, this Thursday, when we have Trish Stratus.
Trish Stratus will be on the program, is how we're putting it. You know, so we'll be on the show. Just
you're unleashing a... She has no idea that you're unleashing a fanboy on her.
Yep. No, she doesn't. Yep. So we're hoping, you know, that since we're a female fan-based wrestling show, we're hoping that forgiveness will be there since we are so rare. That's the plan.
We'll just hold on to you. You know, we'll grab hold of your manly locks and we'll just hold you back. I mean, you know, it'll be fine.
I figure, you know, I talked to Lindsay about it, and I figured that if we could get him to give Lindsay a little dictation before the show starts, maybe he'll be spent. And it won't be quite so bad. That's my plan.
I'll do my best, but if she's coming on, there may be no satisfying him. Just saying.
Well, we'll see. We're gonna get you to do what we can, and you know, hopefully he'll be a bit spent. Hopefully.
Well, feel free to try anything you like.
Anything?
This is Russell Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Not Torture Omega Knight, which...
He used the word anything. He hasn't learned.
He gave me carte blanche, Jackie. I can do anything I want to him.
Yeah, I figure if the dictation thing doesn't work, we'll push that See No Evil scene on him.
Ah.
Is that or the feather duster?
So we have some news, Omega.
Don't ever use the word anything around the fan. I was just saying.
Moving on to the news of the week, USA Network will be airing a special on John Cena versus The Rock on Monday, March 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern before Raw. The one-hour special will replay Saturday, March 31st, just before WrestleMania, and it is titled Rock/Cena.
Does anyone care?
Mm-mm.
The whole point behind it is it's like a UFC special when they promote one of their UFC countdown shows. That's the whole idea behind it.
We just couldn't get a little Sunday Night Heat. That would actually be good. A little free-for-all, just saying.
You just want a little free-for-all with Kane. Just saying.
Well, see, no, I didn't even do it this time.
You do not encourage them, Rock.
Well, they encourage me to talk, so, you know, I'm going to have to throw in a jab once or twice.
Ooh, dude, and somebody's getting arrested out my window.
And yes, I would... God. And yes, while I would enjoy a lot of free-for-all with Kane, the free-for-alls were really good. I mean, I still to this day remember the match between Stone Cold, well, at the time, the ringmaster Steve Austin, I believe it was, and Yokozuna, where the ring actually broke under the weight of Yokozuna. The second rope, I think it was, or the top rope, I don't know. One of the ropes broke. I mean, that was some good stuff right there, and I miss that.
So for the record, you're looking forward to a free-for-all in your house with Kane.
Yes. Yes, that will never happen, but I'm waiting for the day when it will.
So I'm just curious, is this special going to be them replaying the 20-minute promos that they have for each of them, or is it going to be actual new stuff?
Because it's going to be a clip show.
Yeah, does anybody care? No, not really, because I've seen it all already.
Yeah, if I have to sit through those stupid promos one more time, I'm going to hurt someone. I mean, The Rock, especially The Rock promos, they rub me the wrong way because he seems so unapproachable in everything that he's trying not to be. It's like, dude, just be Hollywood Rock. It would be so much easier.
Moving on. we've already kind of discussed this. WWE has not followed up on Carmen's appearance last month at Royal Rumble because she's not fully recovered from giving birth on December 31st and isn't ready to work a full-time schedule. She competed in the Royal Rumble match because creative felt it would be a good story since it wasn't expected. We kind of already hit this one.
Yeah, we kind of did, so you could have skipped over it.
I could have, but I'm following the run sheet like a good little worker.
Good boy. Good boy.
You get a cookie.
Get the cookie.
Yay!
Just don't take any of the ones that we left for Tim. Just saying. They're probably not good at the moment.
There were ones left for Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not anymore. Have the ladies seen the kayfabe tees at WWEshop.com?
I have. When payday comes, next pay period, I'm getting one of them. But I'm so over, I'm getting that one.
I want
one.
The heel one. The
simplest t-shirt they've ever made, but that stuff will outsell. I mean, there's some, God, if every smart mark and smart fan on the internet buys one, that shit will outsell Austin 316.
It's such a cop-out, though. I mean, here's something, they're actually marketing something to the inside fans, the smart marks out there, and guess what? It's the most simple, plain t-shirts they've ever produced.
But they're awesome, though. I mean, this and the Cena Sucks t-shirt is them finally coming around to realize that this audience does exist. And, I mean, granted, you know, I don't know if I'm someone who's considered to be part of the audience because I'm a mark and I don't see myself as that. But, I mean, I would totally buy one. I'm going to buy one. I had to get my car fixed, so I don't have the money this time, honestly. But when next pay period comes, I'm getting one. I may even get two. Better to market to this audience rather than just act like they don't exist. Make some money off of them. Hell yeah.
Just throwing this out there that you might want to get it as fast as you can, because there's talk that they might get rid of these t-shirts once people in Stanford realize, oh, look, that we have these t-shirts available now. Maybe it wasn't such a good idea.
Why wouldn't it be a good idea? I mean, I guess in order to answer that question, I don't know if anyone here could answer that question, but I would turn and ask, how well are the Cena Sucks shirts selling? I mean,
I don't think it's so much that, well, the Cena Sucks thing you can't get away with because that's just fan reaction. This is literally exposing the business, which someone up in Stanford may not appreciate.
But doesn't all this stuff have to get approved by somebody?
See, that's what I'm wondering. If this stuff is, well, since this is literally just a black t-shirt with a basic font logo on it, I'm wondering if this even went through the normal processes, because this could literally be thrown up so fast and so easily. You know, you're not hiring an artist, you're not doing preview sketches or nothing like that.
I think they kind of gave, as far as maybe the heel term, that term, I think when they brought out Ziggler Ziggler pretty much exposed this, and they could not, how stupid could whoever's in charge of this whole thing be if Ziggler went out with it, it's lasted this long, and nobody noticed?
Well,
I mean,
for
Ziggler
a long
brought
time,
out the heel thing.
Yeah, for a long time, his tights read hashtag heel, which, you know, I thought was hysterical, but they shifted that to show off since then.
Yeah, and I know that they were talking about on Tyler Rex's show, what used to be his show. There was Tyler right Rex after the, his little mid-card mafia show. He did a show where he talked about how they have heat, and then quite literally after that, there were three episodes of the show. They all went private and then never came back. Now, granted, he made a stupid mistake in that episode, in the final episode, where they just put a picture of Chris Benoit in the episode, which was stupid in and of itself because Chris Benoit does not exist. So I thought it was pulled down because of that. But when you look at the fact that they dropped the heel thing with Ziggler and then pulled down the mention of, you know, I have heat. You know, they talk about X-Pac heat and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, maybe they are. But, yeah, maybe I better get one while I have the chance.
Well, here's the thing. The fact that they're recognizing the IWC in general is an interesting concept. Because for years they pretended we don't exist or they just ignore us. But they've started recently where they're kind of sort of working almost certain things towards us. Like the whole Jericho when he came back. Trolling the audience, trolling the internet, screwing with the fan base. I mean, it's like we all expected Jericho. That's why I think we were talking about it. It's like when he came back, we were almost expecting Jericho not to be it because they would just do that to fuck with the IWC. And they've been doing certain things. It's like, I guess, at Elimination Chamber, a lot of people were expecting Jericho to win, me included, and that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder if they're not targeting certain things and doing certain things because they know this fan base is here. Because obviously they're very clued into Twitter. Somebody there is reading their Twitter. Somebody is watching it. So they know this internet fan base is out there. They know we're here. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're starting to do things to screw with us, to make it unexpected, to draw us out of that smart mark mentality and back into a mark mentality.
And then either way, it just makes sense to get money out of us. I mean, it is a business.
Yeah,
it just makes sense. I mean, if they can get money out of us, you know, then why not?
And speaking of getting money out of people, right now, if you go to uberfist.com, you can take a look at all the selections they have on uberfist.com. They have, you know, the Hulk Fist where you can put your drink in it. If you like that product, please contact Tim Stein, and you can get a $5 discount off the price. You'll be $20 WETR special price for an Uber Fist. Get one today.
Nice,
I'll
rock.
Twisted up your rock.
I had to shill it, so, you know.
Master of the show right there, my friends.
Damn straight.
He's been at it for years.
No, but seriously, contact him and at least buy one, please. Do it now. Thank you.
Moving along from there.
Mm-hmm.
Drew McIntyre is set to be repackaged with arrogant Playboy gimmick soon. According to fans at this weekend's SmackDown Live event in Honduras, Drew appeared to be acting more sexually. Calm down, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Jackie's holding me down as we speak.
Well, let me read the rest of that sentence. Drew appeared to be acting more sexually and flirting with male fans in the crowd, even blowing kisses at some.
What?
Jackie, hold me down, because I'm gonna blow.
I say just let her go. Did you say, I'm sorry, Omega, did you say male fans?
He also stopped in the middle of his match against Ezekiel Jackson to comb his hair. Yes. Male fans.
Jackie, get ready to move to Stanford because I'm now going to have to take out the entire SmackDown writing team. Just saying. It's just, no. No, 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 no. Playboy gimmick, fine. Gay Playboy gimmick, not fine. No. If I have to see him kiss another man on TV, someone is going to get hurt. And it will not be pretty.
What if he's wearing a gold bodysuit at the time?
No. That'll make it worse. That means somebody's going to die. Why?
The first mass murder to ever come out of Salt Lake City, Utah.
We're going to get this phone call. Hey, guys, I'm in jail right now. I kind of murdered the SmackDown creative team. Can you help bail me out?
Yeah, get the bail money ready because it's coming.
Yeah. I was going to say, letting her go. It's been going on for a few hours now. This is what we were talking about before the show went on.
So you mean the jar we keep on the counter that reads, Bugs Fun Night Out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yes, we have to use that to bail Lindsay out.
Only because she has a nicer rack.
Yeah.
According to the Wrestling Observer, Vince Russo's departure from TNA was considered business as usual and no great difference when it comes to creative.
So basically nothing of value was lost.
Basically.
I think it's pretty much akin to removing a growth at this point.
All I ask is that they now remove the Hogan and Bischoff growths, and I will watch their product again. But I need them to remove Hogan and Bischoff first.
Yeah, those are my opinions. One down, two to go.
Actually, technically, they got a 2-for-1 because Russo's son supposedly quit when he did. So, they got a 2-for there.
Well, yeah, well, we also need Bischoff's son to go, too.
Yes, I hear
Get
he's
out.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I've never seen him, but I hear he's terrible.
Okay, one of the factors that may have contributed to the departure of Russo is Bruce Pritchard was brought into the company. One of his main goals was to slow the pacing of Impact down, concentrate on a couple angles, and not cram as much into each episode.
You mean book it like it's supposed to be booked?
Yeah, like an actual wrestling show.
Wait, those exist?
Apparently so.
Oh my god, I'm shocked.
I know, it's just like unbelievable thing that you can actually book a wrestling show that goes at like a pace that you can actually keep up with.
That's like mind-boggling awesome.
Yeah, next thing you know, TNA will have a match that finishes with a clean pinfall.
No! That'll never happen. Never! They don't believe in those there.
You never know. It might happen.
I refuse to believe it until I see it. I don't think they understand the logic behind a clean pinfall, let alone know how to say it.
Okay, so... I really don't care about the Shaq news,
so
moving on.
So we can now want to play a game now?
Yay, I do.
Play a game, Omega?
Sure.
Let's play a game.
I got my Pokemon game right here.
Let's play a game, and you know, let's we have a bumper for the game too.
Do we?
Yes, we do. So let's play the bumper right now.
It's now time to play the game that's sweeping the nation. It's time for Win Tim Stein Stuff.
We need to get someone who can actually say Win Tim Stein Shit.
Yeah, no, we'll get it re-recorded one day.
Clip.
You know, we'll get it done Monday. But we're gonna play some Name a Tune. The way we're gonna do this, you have to type Buzz in the little Skype box. To buzz and you know, or you want to scream buzz if you want. I don't know, whatever works for you. But we're gonna play, you know, until someone says buzz, and then you know.
The last time we played Name That Tune, we just shouted it out. What's wrong with that?
I want to make it
Sky
sound
lag.
Yeah, you know, you want to shout it out? If you want to shout it out, you can. But I don't know. I'll keep it low enough so you can hear it. Okay, we can yell buzz. Alright, you'll yell buzz. So here's your first one.
I have no idea.
I recognize the music, but oh my god, that's so generic.
Wow.
Something to do with Batista?
No. Sadly, no.
That's got to be old.
It's not that old.
No, it's not that old, but it has a distinct jobber quality to it.
So none of you got... I thought you would have got that one. Anyway, that was the Radicals.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah,
it's been so long since I've
seen
that.
Yeah, old.
10 years is not... If you really want to go old, I can play old.
That we're WWE fans, Rock. They have to remind us what happened 2 minutes ago.
Okay, that's a good point.
And by the way, who the hell are you?
Here's your next one.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we're 0 for 2.
We're 0 for 2. Wow.
God. It's wow. Another one that's familiar. I just can't place it.
All right.
Randy News Network, is it?
No. Jersey Girl. No.
All I kept thinking was, we now bring you to a special report live.
Is that his man's? Is that Regal's man's man music?
No.
No.
No. No.
And Jersey Girl, no, you're incorrect. That was the Lyle Resistance.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. How would you pick someone we know?
I figured he's been...
Pick someone that's been relevant sometime in at least the last 5 to 10 years.
They were relevant 7 years ago.
It's supposed to be challenging, at least.
I'm going to make this one really easy. If you don't get this one, you get people have issues. Here we go.
Oh, that's Mick Foley.
Huh?
Was that Mick Foley?
No.
That's Bret Hart.
No. You're both out.
That sounded like Mick Foley's skit at the beginning of his
You're
music.
You're both out. So
no.
More than one wrestler with a skit in his thing.
No. Wrong. Chat room, wrong. Omega, do you want me to continue? They can't
yeah,
answer.
Yeah, please.
Oh.
Omega?
Oh, yeah.
Is your name Omega?
Yes, it is.
She's the end-all be-all.
Wait, whoa.
I'm the be-all end-all with double D boobs, I'm just saying. I win.
Yeah, see, there's the thing. I can't steal that gimmick.
Well, you could, but it would be painful and involve surgery.
Well, yeah, that or a diet of nothing but, you know, gas station burritos for the next year.
All right.
Yeah, bad guy, Razor Ramon.
There you go. Here's your next one. Any idea?
Nope.
It starts like this.
Yo, it's me. It's DDP.
I think that shows just how well they were handling DDP in the WWE.
Let's see.
Former world champion. Okay. Is there stock music we can buy for $5?
Trying to figure find ones that don't give it away in the first 2 seconds. That's the issue. Let's try this one. Never mind, you guys won't get this one either. Oh, I'm playing it. So, anyway, anyone have an idea? That is a no.
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 I'm trying to identify it as music.
I think it is Sid.
No, it's not Sid.
Boogeyman?
No, you're on the right track, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't be Boogeyman.
You're on the right track with Boogeyman. Think that type of creepy character.
Kevin Thorne?
No.
Gangrel?
No, that would be Papa Shango.
Oh.
Mm. All right, now this one, next one, I know you'll all get, so we're going to hear a buzz in about 2 seconds.
Buzz. It's Maria Kanellis.
There you go. Jackie's on the board.
Yay!
Let's see.
Oh my God, Buzz! You know, it's like, you know, we just need to discuss him more on the show, I think.
No.
I
no.
Yank him.
There you go. Omega.
That's the Dudley Boys.
There you go. See, we're now getting into a little bit of a groove.
Do you see how I bait us, Lindsay?
Yeah, they baited. I like to point out that the mentions of Kane, Isaac Yankem, and Jack Package are all the fault of Rock and Omega because they're baiting us. Thank you.
Buzz.
Buzz.
Omega.
That was Road Dogg and K-Quick.
There you go.
Really? Really?
Is this a buzz?
That completely go over their heads, or?
Do you not... Well, Omega, what is it then?
They train.
There you go.
Gee, the one that starts with a train whistle.
Sounded like a boat whistle, actually.
That's what I thought it. That's what I thought. It was like, that sounds like either a big truck or a boat.
Okay.
Could have been the same damn theme.
But it wasn't.
That wasn't Tugboat, was it?
That was Tugboat.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Come on, Lindsay, you're falling behind.
I haven't heard half of these, honestly. I don't remember half of these.
Do I have to give you something you'll remember?
You have to remember, I watched this shit on mute.
Yeah, we're trying to avoid Michael Cole. Give us a little bit of credit.
Michael Cole has an interesting... God, that's frightening.
Here's your next one.
Oh, Gold Dust.
You have the buzz. Remember this. Buzz.
I said buzz.
I know. I'm talking to Lindsay. You have the buzz into the game.
I want to say Perry Saturn, but I know it's not right.
No, that's not right.
God.
I should know this one.
You should. You really should know this one.
It's the music of someone who spent a lot of time on their back.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. They've also been a former world champion as well.
Really?
Really. Not with that particular music.
No, not with that music, no.
Not with that particular music where they're a world champion, but this is a theme of a former world champion.
Oh, jeez. It's not David Arquette's music.
No.
Not Lita's music.
She's the one who spent a lot of time on her back for different reasons.
Ching.
Hey! Wait, whoa.
You're going to okay, make now, me call the lawyer again, aren't you?
Yes, it's great. Keep him on speed dial.
Fuck. Damn it, Rock.
I'm sorry, am I stepping on your toes, Omega, with the Lita joke?
No. Wasn't you.
It wasn't you this time.
Again, we blame the Rock.
Again, okay. Play me, as always. That was Christian, by the way.
Oh, jeez.
That was his original theme music. But here's your next one. Play a couple more.
Oh, Flash, you are...
Buzz, Flash Funk, oh my gosh. He's thinking, yeah, you know what's funny about that? Is he goes, okay, I want to stay away from the ones that are too obvious right in the very beginning.
I was trying to give Lindsay a chance to at least get one.
Okay, let's let Lindsay have the next one and see if she can get it.
Oh God, gee, just take pity on me. But Gangrel / the Brood.
There you go. Lindsay's on the board.
Yay, Lindsay. You should have just paid Hulk Hogan's music, Rock. Oh, my God.
No, because you don't want to hear me hurl on this show.
Here's your next one.
No, we saved that for the Rock for Easter, say 11 p.m. Eastern.
That's the tease if I ever heard one. Okay, here's your next one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so at least he waited a minute in the song before it gave
yeah,
it away.
Least, yeah, that one gets easier the longer it goes.
Right. And just so everyone knows, no one's going to say what it was.
I said 3-minute warning.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Don't think you did, but anyway, here's your next one.
I did.
All this damn music so generic.
I was about to say TNA, but that's not TNA.
No, well, in a way.
No, keep going.
No, go ahead.
No, say it.
It does involve TNA in some fashion, but that
is it. Test?
No. TNA wasn't TNA as in a female, so.
Wasn't Trish.
Think more Righteous.
Ivory?
No.
More Molly.
There you go, Molly. Molly Holly. Here's one more.
Buzz. Eugene / Santino training montage.
That would be correct. That would be Eugene.
I totally said 3-minute warning, by the way.
You did not.
I did too.
Hey, Rock, Buzz, 3-minute warning.
You know, he'll have to go through and listen to this and put it on the archive, and then he'll hear it.
Right.
That's when the torture kicks in. I told you so. Oh, wow, Buzz.
Okay.
It's Jeff Jarrett.
You got that one. I'm surprised. I'm surprised you got that one.
Why?
I don't know. I just, you know, everyone's saying how generic these have been, you know.
Well, yeah, well, country music, they're, you know, that kind of narrows it down.
Just a bit.
All right, here's another one.
Buzz Devari?
Oh, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, technically right.
Technically.
That's awful.
He did, actually.
I can't remember the guy that actually used it.
Muhammad
Hassan.
Yeah.
There we go.
AKA,
but I know Devari was with him.
AKA the guy who put terrorists on WWE TV.
Mm-hmm. And strangled The Undertaker with piano wire.
That's why she remembers.
That's why I remember.
Yep.
Everything in my wrestling knowledge revolves around The Undertaker and Kane.
Okay, well then you'll be able to get this one.
Buzz. Maven / Tough Enough Season 1.
There you go. And how does he involve The Undertaker in this one?
He eliminated The Undertaker in the Royal Rumble.
Technically, he himself was never eliminated because he kind of got shoved through a popcorn machine.
Yeah, Taker whooped his ass pretty good. It was great.
All around Phillips Arena. It was awesome.
You remember when the Tough Enough winners would actually show up on WWE TV at some point?
What happened to that?
I don't. No.
Hey,
they violated the wellness program within 30 days. Well, not about within 30 days, but pretty damn quick.
And pissed Vince McMahon off about how they sold a move, so yeah. Let's just say the chick that got eliminated the first night is on TV before him.
This is true. And we have the final two, then we'll play some quick hits and get out of here. Here's your second to last one.
That was not Andre, was it?
No.
Okay.
No.
This is
sounds like Jake the Snake.
It is not Jake the Snake.
God, there's so many of these that sound familiar, but I just can't place them.
Come on, Omega, you can smell this one. Come on.
No.
Yeah.
It's Rocky Maivia.
Yep.
That had to be his very first one.
Yep, Rocky Maivia. Yep. And finally, just because I have to play it.
Rockabilly. Woo! Yeah. Rockabilly all night long.
Buzz.
Buzz.
Just to make it end, buzz. That was the theme of Mrs. Chuck Palumbo.
That would be correct. That was some Name That Tune, Win Tim Stein shit here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Remember, go to uberfist.com and contact Tim Stein. He can get you a deal on an Uberfist. See, that's called chilling. And now we play Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
I think this is when you would contact Lindsay.
I don't think he wants a fist, period. I think you prefer to pass out his fist rather than give it, than take it from someone.
Wow.
Here, I was avoiding getting that connotation across because I know Rock clips things.
Like I care.
She don't care at this point.
She's already got the worst possible clip one could have, so.
I've got the JSK clip. There's nothing I can say that will ever stop that. So I could give a crap at this point.
Anyway, let's do some quick hits. Everyone knows how to play quick hits. Omega, let's see. Which match?
I love that there's absolutely no context to the people listening to that.
What the hell? What? Anyway.
If you'd like to hear more about JSK, turn into the rack. This Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern, as we will be paying tribute to the man, the myth, the legend, JSK. I had to throw that out there.
You did. That's okay. And Omega's going, why are they... Anyway, we'll tell you later. Anyway, Omega, which matchup would you rather see? Trish Stratus versus Natty or Beth Phoenix versus Trish Stratus?
With or without the farting gimmick?
Without the farting gimmick.
I've seen Natty's indie matches. She can wrestle a great match. Honestly, for the story of it, I would rather see Trish wrestle Beth. And it's just something, you know, kind of the returning hero type thing going up against the unstoppable Glamazon as she is being booked as yet again.
And we can ask her, who would she rather face, Natty or Beth, live Thursday on the rack?
Well done.
Before I get paid the big bucks. Lindsay, who has the best finishing move in wrestling?
Petey Williams, Canadian Destroyer.
No question asked about that?
Nope.
No one else holds a candle?
Nope.
Okay. There we go. Jackie, what wrestler's life would you like to see made into a movie not named Kane?
I think I'm going to go with... Oh my goodness. I could call it a Glenn Jacobs alter ego, but I will go there. Made into a movie? We'll do it a tragedy. Let's go Hulk Hogan.
Ooh.
Ooh. I think they already made a movie called The Wrestler.
It'll be rags. It'll be rags to riches to rags one more time.
No, brother. Let's stay with Jackie. What wrestler would have the most entertaining reality show?
The Iron Sheik.
Oh my god, yes.
Just follow that man around with a camera and a microphone.
His Twitter is entertaining enough.
He'll walk up to some random woman on the street and be like, I do you old country way, make you humble.
Just send the Iron Sheik to the Oscars and it'll be a win.
Really, because, you know, Joan Rivers is only 5 million years old. You know she's going to kick off at some point. So let's just put the Iron Sheik.
I don't know. The woman is mostly cyborg at this point.
Oh, is she the next Terminator?
For more quotes from the Iron Sheik, tune into Arrakis. We have a new segment called Sheik Tweet.
God!
You can hear it live, 11 p.m. Eastern, Thursday nights, right on the rack.
Even I don't want to spend this much time on the rack.
You don't want to spend a lot of time on the racks?
2 hours is my limit, man. Not a machine.
I thought you said you wanted to be a Wonder Bra so you could hold them up all day.
Yes, but then I would have support. Right now, I'm just little old me.
Well, man up!
Omega, what is your favorite Ric Flair moment?
Thank God I am not going last. I still laugh hysterically whenever he elbow drops an inanimate object. I could say it's just some rage-induced promo where he, you know, you could see the veins bulging in his forehead and his man boobs rippling under his shirt. And, you know.
No. That's a visual I didn't need.
Yes, thank you, Omega.
Elbow drop a book, elbow drop your jacket. I've seen him elbow drop his damn pants.
Woo! Potted plant?
It is hysterical every time.
We should mention the great Ric Flair is now 63 years young today.
Happy birthday, Rick.
Happy birthday, Rick.
And finally, Lindsay, with tonight being Oscar night, who is the best actress in wrestling?
Best actress in wrestling? Oh, hell, I don't know. Because none of them can really act, so... Oh, hell, the only one that comes to mind is Eve, just because she can cry on cue.
So the winner for Best Actress is Eve Torres. And that was another edition of Quick Hits here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
There's one credit I will give her. I didn't expect her to be able to shed tears on command. I know to keep her job, she'll do a lot of things on command, not cry.
I'm sure she has.
She does wear knee pads. Do we really have to do any kind of plugging at this point?
Yes, we do. We have plenty of shows on the network, Omega. We have a lot of stuff
coming.
And
here we go.
We have a lot of stuff coming up on the network. Like tomorrow night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, it's the Raw Post Show. Join myself, Jackie Fice, Lindsay Ward, as we discuss Monday Night Raw. Everything that goes down, we'll discuss it on the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. This Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik and the Spud Guy. On the program, we'll have WSU Women's Champion, or I guess it's WSU Champion, Mercedes Martinez. Her 3-year reign could come to an end this Saturday night on iPay-Per-View. Order it by clicking the little banner thingy on the main page of WildTalkRadio.com, because that would be cool. And we also have her number one contender, Jessica Havoc, the WSU Spirit Champion, on the program, as well as Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, live Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, it's just another goddamn wrestling show. Jed Schaefer, Scott Barry, and the Cheap Wood panel. they discussed the news and other things, and apparently Rock moments and stuff, because of a frequent caller to the program. Right, Lindsay?
What's your favorite Rock movie?
That's pretty much how it goes. Thursday night, we have a show called The Rack, and we have a special guest.
We
that
do?
Would be Trish Stratus. That would be the best actress to ever come out of professional wrestling. And we're going to talk about her new movie called Bounty Hunter Sisters, 11 p.m. Eastern on Wild Talk Radio.
There you go. Check on Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork or Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio or Twitter.com/MyNameIsWojcik. And we'll give you an update if we're doing, when we're doing, a WSU pre-show of the iPay-Per-View on Saturday. And speaking of Saturday, it's CB Radio, to myself, Rob Parks, and Subway as, you know, we talk about the weird, the wacky, and the usual. And last night we had hashtag Kane Free Night. Just, you know, had to.
Plus, that's why we're making up for it tonight.
He says we're going to have a cane-free night in the first within the first 5 minutes. The word cane came out, and we were not even there.
It was hashtag cane-free night. I had to explain it to the people, you know, who weren't on Twitter. So we talk about anything like how a 911 caller wants a taxi so he can get help finding his football. True story. Talk about that and a whole bunch more. Plus sewer swallowing. Day. International Sewer Swallowing Day was on Saturday, so talked all about that as well. CB Radio and all that fun stuff. And then we're back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. I wonder who's going to host this show next week.
Not it.
Maybe Tim Stein will be back. Anyway, that's plugs. Omega, your turn.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching this incredibly odd and cane-filled edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We will be coming back to you next Sunday at our usual time to talk more about The Rock and less about Kane, Glenn Jacobs, or whatever you want to call him this week. For Jackie, Lindsay Ward, Rock, and myself, thank you for listening. Good night, everyone.
Come.